Heavenly Father, we worship you. Once again, we come to your presence by the blood of Jesus. And as I stand this morning, I stand in order under the covering of my spiritual fathers and of the Lord Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our souls, our faithful and merciful high priest. And I come to ask Heavenly Father, so go into this time, I recognize my limitations, my weaknesses and my infirmities. And I strip myself of every confidence in the same. Rather, I ask that you have mercy, fresh mercy upon me, to enable me to use this preparation to glorify your name. Grant me fresh unction from your throne. Same unction, let it be upon the ears and the hearts of my brethren, so that your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish, Lord, an eternal work, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds to be more illuminated with the light of faith and revelation, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruits of the Spirit, so we'll love you more with everything we are and everything we have in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because under the covering of my fathers, I pray that everywhere this word goes, let it be backed with covering power, so that, Lord, it will break yokes, it will remove the veil, it will set captives free. Lord God, it will bring strength to our feet and our ankle bones, helping us, Lord, to be doers of the things that we hear and not hearers only, being blessed in all our deed in the name of Jesus. I also ask for mercy to be faithful. I duck under the covenant of my Father specifically. Help me, Lord, to minister this word the way they would have. To be sensitive to you. Lord, to yield to you. To allow you to use all my faculties the way you choose. So that I will be a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. Redeeming the time. And at the same time, Lord, bringing forth the treasures out of your word that are new and old. To the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. In your ear. We thank the Lord for His beautiful presence in our midst today. Amen. The Lord Himself has gone ahead with the words this morning, the very powerful word of the Bible study by Pastor Dewey, with the ministration by the choir led by Pastor Andrew. God is talking about love, our love for Him, and our love for Him not failing. Our love for Him must be incorruptible. We must love God to a point where nothing else can steal or diminish the quantum or the degree of the love we have for Him. And the message that God has given today is entitled Strength to Inherit. Strength to inherit. Let's say it together. Strength to inherit. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 11. This actually came from Bible study. Thank God for our fathers and the Good Morning Jesus prayers and the quantum of weekly Rhema, and the daily Rhema and daily Bible reading that comes from Pastor through Pastor Lalu. Thank you so much. Because this message is really from there. Deuteronomy 11. I read from verse 8. Therefore, let's read it together. Therefore, shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whither you go to possess it, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Next verse. For the land which thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence you came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. This land is different. It is a land that, next verse, but the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. Next verse. It is a spiritual yet physical land. It is bringing forth based on spiritual principles. So you must understand that it's not the kind of land where it is the force of your hand or the labor of your hand. It is the labor of the rain that comes upon it in your heart that is causing the land to be watered. Next verse. No. Previous verse. 12. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. Love. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. From the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. Give God a clap offering. This is the land. This is the land. All right, let's continue. And it shall come to pass, if thou hearken diligently, mark that word, hearken how? Diligently, unto my commandments which I command thee this day, to what? Love the Lord your God, and to serve him with what? All your heart, nothing left out, and with all your soul. It's very specific. That's why I said God has gone ahead. He's talking about love, unqualified, total love, 100%. That I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Back to Joel. Amen. Next verse, verse 15. And I will send grass in thy field for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Next verse. Take heed. One more time, let's read it. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. And you what? Turn aside. So you see, God has gone ahead. I didn't know what Pastor was going to preach. Amen. That you turn aside and do what? Serve other gods. And what? Worship them. If this wasn't possible, God would not be warning us. That burden we need to take care. So Moses is the type of an apostolic messenger. And he's here encouraging Israel to be spiritually strong. You're going to need that strength. Because when the land begins to bring forth, your heart must not move. Strong men retain riches. The corollary is that weak men lose riches. When the riches has exceeded your love for God, when it has brought forth so much that your love for God has not been commensurate or has exceeded it, then it turns your heart. So we must be loving God at a constant rate. You keep loving and keep loving and keep loving and keep loving. That's what he's saying. So that you are able to possess the promised land. And he has a solemn warning that it should establish the hearts in obedience, lest the wonderful, tremendous, and consistent spiritual, financial, and material blessings of the promised land corrupts their heart. Proverbs 2:21. Quickly. You need to be quick. Thank you. For the upright shall what? Dwell in the land. And the perfect shall what? Remain in it. So then your heart must be two things. It must be perfect. That is, the sin substance is removed. And then it must be upright. You've exercised it in the will of God so much that it's fixed. Both. You need both to dwell in the land. Upright and perfect. Let's say it together. Upright. Perfect. Okay. Right. Now, so it takes strength in obedience to possess the land. It's not a new thing. From the church in the wilderness, no, it was a physical land for Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Quickly. Just laying a foundation so we can understand. Thank you very much. You need to be quick. Yeah. Be strong. You see that again. And of what? Good courage. For unto these people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Next verse. Only be thou. Why is he going over it again? God doesn't repeat himself. Oh. It's an emphasis. That is not just regular strength. You need supernatural, consistent strength in agape love. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Because some things are going to happen. You're going to need courage to stand against it. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Your strength and courage is in obedience. is to make sure that you are obedient. Now, nothing takes you from obedience, no matter how much it seems. And something that's going to be really tempting, very juicy, that you need to know the God who has called you. Which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper with those ever southward. Next verse. This book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So we have a part to play to allow the prosperity of God come upon us to the degree that he wants it to. Because God doesn't want the beast of the land to devour us. He doesn't want the prosperity to devour us. And he's not going to in Jesus' name. So in the Old Testament, it was a physical land that they got, and they divided up the land to different tribes. In the New Testament, this inheritance is the Spirit without measure. John 3:34. The Spirit without measure. We see Jesus. Don't give me that. Give me Matthew 3:16-17. So just see Jesus quickly. Matthew 3:16-17. Thank you. Right. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and they saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Next verse. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So John 34 says that God has not given the Spirit by measure unto him. So you see that is what Jesus inherited after all the silent years. After between 12 and this, you know, at 30, were 18 silent years. And then all of a sudden we see this to tell us that something new has just begun. Amen? All right? And this is what we are about to receive in the church. Amen? All right? Now, but to receive it, we have to be fully grown in divine love. Ephesians chapter 3, give me from verse 16 quickly. That would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? Strengthened with might in the Spirit. Amen? By his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your heart. How? By faith. That faith must be consistent, as we'll see later on. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, next verse, may be able to comprehend. So you are rooted and grounded in love. But there is yet a comprehension that we need to have. An understanding. You know, give this verse to me in the Amplified. I may be able to comprehend that. Remember, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth? Next verse. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. That's where we're going. It's an experience of being holy God's. Spirit, soul, body, everything in you is totally God's. And that's where God is taking us to. Now, when we get here, God now releases the blessings of the age to come. Through that spirit, that measure. The ability of the mind of Christ. You know, the redemption of the brain. The redemption of our physical bodies. So, the blessings that come upon us are tremendous. Spiritual and financial and material blessings. Instant answer to prayer. Like, tell somebody to go and catch a fish. And it's like you define a coin. You see, different variants. Okay, and then permanent protection from spiritual and physical harm. Sound, permanent physical health. Your health is sound every day. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. You live long until you want. Mortality is swallowed up of life. This is the land. But if we are not careful, we may not stay there long. God forbid, in Jesus' name. That's why God was warning them. Okay, and God is warning us too. Our hearts must be fully prepared and well established. Two things. Fully prepared and then well established in being Christ-centered, kingdom-oriented, and anointing-based. We must be Christ-centered, kingdom or love-oriented, and everything you do must be anointing-based. Instead of using the power of your hand, let God do it. Instead of going to see them to arrange the circumstances, let God do it. If God cannot do it, I don't want it. It takes some commitment. You know, you are willing to let it go. But how do you know you have another chance like this? It will never come again. Your boyfriend is very foolish. You know the person. The person is known to you. Go and see him now. Don't do that. That's not the example we have seen of Jesus. That's not the example we have seen of our spiritual fathers. They only take what God has given. And what God has given, no man can take. But it's important to be Christ-centered, because there is an epidemic in the church where people are man-centered. They are everything they do is entertainment-based, and is need-oriented, and is entertainment-based. So you look very strange. That's why you need courage. You need courage to stay on the path, because it's not, when you look around, you don't really see. So many people like, are we strange? You know, like one time, there was a time that we did some research in a place, and there was a particular illness that was there. You know, and you know when the boys urinate, there's blood in their urine. You know, and they all had the illness, and then there was this guy who didn't have it, so there was no blood. So one day, you know how little boys are, just turn around and just bring out their pee pee and they just be wee wee. And everybody was like, see, he doesn't have any blood, he's not mature. He too was feeling bad. Until the medical team came and said, all you people have illness, he's the one that's correct. Sometimes normal looks abnormal, because truth is falling in the streets. But there is a generation that is going to populate the earth. To the degree, that's what Good Morning Jesus is doing. He's populating people like mine so that there will be a critical mass to bring the glory down for men to see. Amen. Right. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It's very important. Give it to me in the Amplified. Therefore, I can't hear you, brethren. Therefore, since these great promises are ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that what? Contaminates and defiles body and spirit. And bring our consecration to completeness in the reverential fear of God. God wants our consecration to be complete. Is in the process. You know, you to give yourself spirit, soul, will, mind, emotions, inch by inch. You take the ground. You don't just wave a magic wand and then it just goes. It doesn't matter. You take each ground with each action, with each agreement, with each confession, with each meditation, with each action. You take it ground by ground until you push Satan out and you fully allow God to occupy. You drive out everything that contaminates and defiles. Someone was talking about cunning craftiness, talking about the citadel of sin. You know, there are some hidden places that the thing must get to. That Satan has relaxed and said they can never find this. But there's an overflowing scorch that's going to go over it and expose every hidden thing. So the earlier you allow God to let the scourge walk through and remove it, the better. Otherwise, it will come out one way or another. Amen. All right. Okay. Now, a very good example of people who, got into the land and you know, well, some hidden things that were there. It's David. Pastor said he has preached it. So I'm not going to go over that today. He's already done that. You know, right there, David. David at a time when he was supposed to go to war. And God gave him time. Give me 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. God gave him time. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. This is not to make you afraid, though. It's to make us learn from other people's mistake, so that we take things seriously and give it the diligence that it requires. Amen. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the times when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed. It worked. It worked. So sometimes some things work. But it's not based on whether it was based on what God said. It's based on what did God say, not what is the effect that we got. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still. So that still there tells you that God was hoping that at some point in time he would have gotten up and gone to join them. But the Bible says he tarried still. Next verse, that time gave Satan enough time to set him up. We know the rest of the story. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. And that person was Uzziah. Uzziah enjoyed King Uzziah. They were kings. Kings. And God had written in Deuteronomy 17 what kings should be doing. Written that they should have the law. Let's turn there quickly. Give it to Deuteronomy 17. See what happens when you don't do what you're supposed to do. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Deuteronomy 17. Give it to me from verse 10. Quickly. Deuteronomy 17. Thank you. Because we just need to point it out. Verse 15. Quickly. 15. Yes. Now, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom thy Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shall thou set the king over thee. They left this one because they were putting their children. But this was the instruction. That was supposed to allow God to choose the king. Alright? But another matter for another day. They thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. Next verse. Verse 16. But it shall not multiply. Okay, next verse. Give me the next verse. Neither shall he multiply wives, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Next verse. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. Next verse. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it therein some days. Most days. All the days of his life, that he may learn to what? Fear the Lord his God and keep all the words of his law and these statutes to what? Do them. But Uzziah didn't do that. After a while, he didn't do it. Look at 2 Chronicles. I just want to just hit quickly. 26, 3 to 5. Quickly. I'll read 3 to 5 and just touch all the others. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Jecoliah of Jerusalem. Next verse. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Next verse. And he sought God in the days of what? Zechariah. Who had what? Understanding in the visions of God. Had the prophetic. And as long as he sought the Lord, what did God do? God made him prosper. So it means that he was under covering. And he was seeking the Lord as long as he chose to seek the Lord. But he got to a point. You can say, Pastor Kule, no, nothing will make me stop serving God. Okay, look at Uzziah. Look at verse 6 to 8. Quickly. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, break down the walls of Gath and the walls of Jabneh and walls of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. Went to Philistines place and built cities right there in their headquarters. Next verse. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gubal and Mehums. Next verse. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. Some people just said, don't fight him. Just go and give him gift. So he was having military and political victories. That's on one level. Then verse 9 and 10. Give it to me. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Next verse. And also built towers in the desert and digged many wells. They couldn't count it. And he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel. For he loved husbandry. So he had agricultural prosperity. Verse 11 to 15. Now give this to me in the Message Bible. Judah became a superpower. That's the only way to describe it. It became a superpower under Uzziah. On the military side, Uzziah had a well-prepared army ready to fight. They were organized by companies under the direction of Jael, the secretary, Maaseiah, the field captain, and Ananiah, the general staff. Next verse. The roster of family leaders over the fighting men accounted for 2,600. Next verse. Under them were reinforcement troops numbering 307,000. 500 of them were on constant alert. A strong desert defense against any attack. Next verse. Uzziah had them well armed with shields and spears and helmets and armor and bows and slingshots. These were conventional. Next verse. He also installed the latest in military technology. No, on the towers and the corners of Jerusalem for shooting arrows and hurling stones. Uzziah was impregnable. He was impregnable. You know, he became well known for all this. A famous king. Everything seemed to go his way. Mercy, Lord. Verse 16 to 18. But then the strength and success did what? Went to his heart. Is his heart, not his head. Went to his heart. Arrogant and proud, he fell. One day, contemptuous of God, he walked into the temple like he owned it and took over, burning incense on the incense altar. Next verse. The priest Azariah, backed up by 80 brave priests of God, tried to prevent him. Next verse. They confronted Uzziah. I said, you must not. You cannot do this, Uzziah. Only the Aaronite priests, especially consecrated for the work, are permitted to burn incense. Get out of God's temple. You are unfaithful and a disgrace. Next verse. But Uzziah, censer in hand, was already in the middle of doing it and angrily rebuffed the priest. He lost his temper. Angry words were exchanged. And then, even as they quarreled, a skin disease appeared on his forehead. Leprosy. You know what leprosy does? It disqualifies you from the priesthood. God put him out. He died a leper. So don't say it cannot happen. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. So that's why God has sent us message, so we can learn from it. Amen. Now, why is this important? See, Lucifer's original sin was a sin of independence. That's Lucifer's original sin. Using God's principles to further his own desires and his own motives. And it began as a small seed. Then through the multitude of the iniquity of the traffic, it grew. Until he sinned. So what is telling us, this is telling us that because we have that same nature, Lucifer many times tries to lure our hearts away by that nature. That is in the soul, in the will, in the mind, in the emotion. Look at Hebrews 3:12. Lucifer tries to do that, tries to lure us away because there's something inside him that is inside us. So we need to remove it so that when he comes to check, there's nothing in him. He doesn't have anything in us. Nothing is resonating between the two of us. We're no longer on the same frequency. Hebrews 3:12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. In what? Depart. So you are with the living God before. But that evil heart, say, Lucifer can lure and beguile with spiritual forces and draw you out until you are departing. And you will know you are departing from living God. God will have mercy on us. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16 to 19. We need to fight when Lucifer is trying to draw you. I don't know. The Bible says, you know, every man is enticed of his own lust. When you are being enticed, you need to wake up spiritually. And let, you know, when you are getting carried away, you know, emotionally, you need a cold shower to wake you up. I let you know that all that thing you are thinking about is not going to work. No, Proverbs 2:16. It says, to deliver thee from the strange woman. See, there is a strange woman. It's a spirit. The spirit of Babylon in the church. She lures people. And she doesn't tell you to do anything wrong. There is a spirit that makes you do wrong things. That's the strange man. You know, he's a few verses ahead of her. In verse 14, 15. You know, that's, so he tells you to break the law. So you know you are breaking the law. But the strange woman is not like that. She comes from the side. You know, look at what she does. She, you know, give it to me, verse 16. Yes, strange woman. Yes, strange woman. Even from the stranger, with flattereth with her words. The first thing are the thoughts. You know, there's really no one like you. You know, you are really head and shoulders above everybody else. You know, all these things you did it by your own hand. You know, all these things, you know, you don't really owe God that much. I mean, you are okay in yourself a bit. You know, he just helped you and patched you up along the way. And those, I mean, so all this one, you don't really need to go all this far. It's flattering you. A flattering voice brings ruin. Ruin. It will be pumping up your eye, your ego. And you know, when people do things, you know, instead of you apologize, they are the ones that need to apologize, not you. No, you don't need to. You are okay the way you are. You can't even say anything wrong with you anymore. Brethren, you need to be able to be seeing things wrong with you at every point in time. You'll be looking for them. You turn the searchlight inside and be looking. You don't need someone to come and tell you from outside. If they tell you, it's only confirming what you already knew. And telling you that there's that thing you're supposed to be doing about it, you're not doing well enough. You need to get down and really get it right. Alright, so deliver you from strange woman, next verse, verse 16. Which forsaketh the guide of our youth and forgetteth the covenant of our God. See, the strange woman basically comes to separate you from the guide of your youth, the Holy Spirit. So you are on your own. And on your own, you cannot fulfill the covenant. The Israelites proved it. On their own, they could never fulfill the covenant. So God had to make a new covenant. Established, and then sent a comforter to help us fulfill that new covenant. So on your own, the Bible says, who can say, I've cleansed myself from sin? You can't say that. Because it takes somebody else, the law that belongs to somebody else, the law of the Spirit of life, to set you free from the law of sin and death. And it takes the help that that person gives you, the mercy, the grace, the help, to make the law work. So you can be making noise and be working the law, and it won't work. It won't work because it takes God to make it work. It takes the principles are there, you know. In fact, the principles you could not have known the principles if God did not show you. So you know, but this is what the Spirit does, you know. And once it has separated you from God, and there's nothing, you know, you cannot fulfill the covenant anymore. Then, for a house inclineth unto death, and are passed unto the dead. Next verse. None that go unto her return again. Neither take the hold of the path of life. She's deadly. That Babylon spirit makes you feel that there's no big deal. There's no difference between what they are doing and what we are doing. It's the same thing. It's not the same thing. The instructions are different. So this is what God is saying. You know, because the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked and has sin nature in it, Satan uses that heart and lures it, you know, by shallow calling unto shallow. By shallow calling unto shallow. So everything is what we can see. If we cannot see, it doesn't really exist. So we operate by sense knowledge, and we don't operate by revelation knowledge. Whereas Jesus said, upon revelation knowledge will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So he gets us into an arena where he's Lord. And he says, all such wisdom is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Then he can finish you off. So don't leave that place of revelation. Amen. Stay in that secret place of revelation. Amen. The wisdom from above is the wisdom we want to take. Amen. How then do we do it? It's not a long message. How do we do it? God has already gone ahead. Tell me about God has gone ahead. I'm telling you, God is wiser than the devil. Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. Give it to me in the Amplified. God knows that you need to make it. And he has guaranteed that we are going to make it in Jesus' name. Look at verse. Let's read it together. But he holds his priesthood unchangeably because he lives on forever. Next verse. Therefore, he is able also to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, those who come to God through him, since he is always living to what? Make petition to God and intercede with him and intervene for them. It's a high priest after a separate order by the power of an endless life. He exists to save you to the uttermost. So he's the guarantor. He has told God, I guarantee. Laolu. I said amen. I guarantee Lolade. I guarantee Pastor Brega. I guarantee Sholakwe. I guarantee all of you. That's it. He's guaranteed you. But then he's not, you know, you have to let the guarantee work through you. He's guaranteed you. We're not going to fail. You're going to enter the land and you're going to occupy and possess it. You're not going to be like Uzziah. You're not going to be like David. You're going to be like Joseph. You're going to be like Daniel. He guaranteed them. There is something they did to make that guarantee work. And there's something that David and Uzziah did not do to make the guarantee work. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. God is not involved in some people making it and some people not making it. We are going to make it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first is the high priest. Set the ground. Number two, he's giving us another comforter. Amen. The Holy Spirit, who will never leave or forsake you. Now, look at Psalm 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, thank you. Verse 8, quickly. Let's read it together. It says, I have set the Lord, wait, just once in a while. Once a day. It's continual. I have set the Lord continually before me. This is by faith. Through revelation. We need to be strong in faith. For your faith to be strong, your faith, the entrance of God's word must be giving you fresh light. So our faith is seeing something. Otherwise, you can be praying and you're not seeing anything. I don't know whether you have been there. I have. And you are praying and you are going through motions, but you're not seeing anything. And so, you know, to that degree, your prayer is not effectual. Because if you don't see anything, you know, God asked Jeremiah, what do you see? You have to see the rod of the almond tree. It's what you see that God establishes. So if you don't see anything, you're not giving, it's like a camera that doesn't have film in it. Okay, they don't use films anymore because everything is digital. All right? But, you know, you take a picture and it doesn't show. It doesn't capture. You take a picture and there's no image. You have to see. That's the key here. So I've set the Lord continually before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Amen. We set him there by faith. And whenever you think, you know, in a day you check again, the Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you. You set it again. You set it again. Because you need him there. He's the guide of our youth. He's the guide of our youth. He's not going to take you into your destiny. He's going to guide you in the details and lead you along the path that he led your fathers. Our fathers, pastor and mommy. The same circumstances that come against you will come against you in a form that is your size. And you, the same Holy Spirit that helped them will help you. Yeah. But the principle is not going to help you in the temptation. It is the person. I'm going to help you with the principles you have operated before the temptation came. Very important. That relationship with him is key. Next verse. Therefore, My heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. I can see change. I can see change in my soul, in my flesh. I'm not the same. So I know I'm on the winning side. The kingdom is advancing. Amen. Next verse. For thou will not leave my soul in hell, the hell of the sin nature, and neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption in my mortal body. Next verse. Thou will show me the path of life. That's how we are going to get the path of life. Our fathers will show it to us, but in the day-to-day situation, he's the one that's going to show us. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So we need him, the Holy Spirit, to show us. So he shows us the way of escape when we are being tempted. He never leaves or forsakes us. So when you are being discouraged, he will encourage you. Amen. He takes us deeper into the presence of God, with the fresh light of God's Shekinah presence, by showing us things to come. Shows us things to come. Fresh light. So you can see that this is what is ahead. And you can go for it. Amen. This is the will of God for us. That's number two. Number three. He has set us under faithful, diligent, excellent fathers who are wholly committed to knowing him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. This is a rare privilege. So I'm just to show you that you are really going to make it. No, you have to do a lot not to make it. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to make it. I'm going to dwell in the land. I'm going to remain in the land. That land that God cares for. That land that the rain and the blessing is continual. I will dwell in it. These are the guarantees. He's put layers of guarantee. Jesus is there, first of all. Holy Ghost is there, second. Then your fathers are there. First of all. And we beseech you, brethren, to do what? Know them which labor among. That's how you know them. The labor. The labor in intercession, morning till night, the labor of love, the labor of bringing out the treasures of the word. It takes labor, brethren. I mean, ask me. God will have mercy. Please have mercy. Pray for me. It's not the labor among you. And are over you in the Lord, and they admonish you. And when they admonish you, know the admonition is coming straight from the throne. That's the sign. They are our own Elijahs. Luke 1:17. Elijah did two things, you know, and John had the spirit of Elijah. Okay, but he speaks of John, Luke 1:17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The Bible says John did no miracle. But John did miracles because the soldiers said, what shall we do? The people said, what shall we do? The tax collector said, what shall we do? Everybody was repenting. There was miracle on the inside, but there wasn't, John didn't stay faithful enough to get the miracles on the outside. But our fathers are going to get both. We can see the miracles on the inside. I'm just look at your life. And then on the outside, the power is going to fall. They are our own Elijahs. Setting the wood in order. Amen. All right. And we must highly esteem them. Next verse. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Yes. Say, and to highly esteem them, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. You even go beyond work's sake. But the place to start is work's sake. You imagine the labor. The years. Look at yourself 10 years ago. What was your situation? Look at yourself today. Look at your children. Are you where you were? It's them. It's them. It's God, but God uses men. Don't tell me it's God. No. See. Samuel needed to grow.
It wasn't the best, but what Eli offered in that atmosphere, Samuel still grew. Now, Eli's son still misbehaved and he didn't control them, but Samuel still grew. So Eli was doing something. Wasn't enough. So if a backsliding ministry can produce a new priesthood, what will happen to a ministry that's on the cutting edge of what God is saying? You are going to make it. You're going to be great in God. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Just compare. And that was an Old Testament. You know, this is a New Testament. It's time upon better promises. You're going to make it, brother. But there's something we need to do to be sure so that we can make sure we make it. Look at what he did. You know, 1 Kings 18:45. You know, I love that scripture. I can't get away from it. 1 Kings 18:45. And it came to pass, and in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And there were three things there: cloud, wind, and rain. The cloud is the apostolic. The true apostolic has rain. If you see a cloud that doesn't have rain, it's a false cloud. It's a false ministry gift. So it's not only wind. This is the miraculous power of the move of the Spirit. You must have rain. Why? It is the rain that changes the heart. It is the rain that establishes the heart. It is the word, the washing of the water by the word, that makes your heart change from being a stubborn, rebellious heart to being a meek and lowly heart. And that is how you dwell in the land. Rain from heaven. From heaven. So, brethren, having given us these three things, God is now telling us that it's time for us to move. So now, what do? We run to God in faith. Everything we do now must be in faith. We pray every 6 hours. 2 Samuel 6:13. 2 Samuel 6:13. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Give you glory. 2 Samuel 6:13, please. It was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. But then you need to stop sometimes during your confession and check the scripture. So you pray with understanding. So we don't, you know, because with every, now the issue is not that you don't do it. You do it. But the question is, do you do it in faith? This is the diligence, thank you, that is there. You open the scripture. Check, I set my will. Psalm 112, verse 9. I have set the law. No, I set my will. And I determined to apply completely and operate perfectly. There's a scripture. Check it. Check it. So the next time you are praying, the thing will just come up. It's a picture. We think in pictures. You don't think in scripture. The picture just comes up. Yeah, that's what that was. So you are praying in faith. Don't just pray and pray and repeat and don't check the scripture. Pastor gave us an instruction one time that we should all check, but I dare say, brother, we should do it more frequently than that. We have to do it by faith. Amen. So we do that every opportunity. You have to know scripture for every opportunity, scripture for every temptation. Matthew 26:41. So when you are thinking, you're not thinking in abstract, you're thinking in faith. So when you think, come, when temptation is coming, you will see it. Because faith sees. Because the entrance of his word gives light. You cannot have, no, you can only have, but the light will stay for some time. When you go back to the scripture, then you get fresh light. That's how it works. Amen. God will help us in Jesus' name. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 as we begin to close. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Yes. Having therefore, brethren, let's read together. Having therefore, brethren, boldness in the light of the high priest, in the light of the Holy Spirit, in the light of the fathers, you have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's how we enter. Hebrews 13:21. And that blood does a deep cleansing work. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So those deep things, you examine them. When you just say, Father, I confess my sins and so I clean with the blood. Sometimes you can do that if you're in the middle of something. But sometimes you open the book, put your Bible, you stop. Father, I confess my sins. This one. That one. Go through the list. And anyone, the Holy Spirit is telling you that this one is peculiar to you, add it. So you do it from time to time. So you're doing it in faith. When you do that, the blood can't go anywhere where your faith has not specified that there's a problem. When your faith specifies that, a bit of envy is there, the blood will go there. But when you only mention pride, and you will take care of those ones, and then you leave the envy there, and you're supposed to have confessed your sins. So this is the key. So you have to do is the faith is critical so that we can really exhume. You know, when you bury something, you know, and you want to dig it up, that's what you do. You exhume dead bodies when they have buried. You exhume. So all these grave clothes, you know, we exhume them and bring them out. I say, Father, I come in Jesus' name. I have life. Life now flows. Amen. I'm not telling you anything new, but you know, just the application of it, so that we can get the effect that we're supposed to get, because we are doing it, so we should get the effect. Give me verse 20, Hebrews 10. Back to Hebrews 10. Thank you. You need to be quicker. Thank you. By a new and living way, which he considered for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. That's, of course, his blood. Okay, so in his flesh, he took the sin nature that was ours in his flesh. That's the veil. So when he went and died, the veil was torn in two, showing that what that flesh that separated you and I from God, the way has been made now because Jesus has taken the sin that was the block before. That's what he's saying. All that needs to be a picture in your mind. Once it's a picture in your mind, God knows you have the revelation. Gives you the life. Is it because the picture has to be there? Okay, next verse, 21. And having a high priest, what I said, over the house of God. Holy Spirit, I come in order, under the covering. That's why I'm just seeing scripture for what our fathers have been saying since. I come in order, under the covering of our fathers, under the Lord Jesus Christ, shepherd and bishop of our souls. See? Verse 22. Let us draw near. That's how you do it in your heart. Okay? With a true heart. You see, when you have repented of your sin, your heart is true. It's sincere. It's sincere. Okay? And you draw into in full assurance of faith. That, it's describing something. It says full assurance. So sometimes our faith has partial assurance. These are very slight degrees, brethren. But it's important. For slight and full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In Jesus' name I have life. Pray in tongues, life. It's pure water flowing to the soul, flowing to the body, washing it clean. Amen. Right. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. See, faith is coming up so frequently. Without what? Wavering, for he is faithful that promised. What's he talking about? He's talking about holding fast. Bible says, as we believe, so do we speak. So, as you was talking today, say some people are not praying. Brethren, when you are praying, you need to know you're praying. You need to tick, you need to be able to tick your prayer and say that, no, that prayer was solid, rock solid. I can pray like that in front of a pastor and he will say, thumbs up. Not the one where you just do on your bed, and you wonder, Imbolawa, no? I that kind of prayer. I'm not sure. Are we fresh? Fill me afresh and exit. Is that one or is it fill me and cover? It will, Lord have mercy in Jesus' name. Pray sitting down. I've made up my mind now. I pray standing, I pray sitting. Bed, yeah? Forget it. It's not for me. It doesn't work for me. Some people have an anointing, but not me. Bed is not for me. I sit up. Good morning, Jesus. He's sitting up. Yes, so. Yes, so. Jesus, walk around. Anything to fight the sleep. This is my salvation. The thing that has been disturbing you all this time. I beg. I'll be lying down. God forbid. You didn't do your own. I said, God forbid. Amen. Amen. No. That's it. So, brethren, you take the apostolic word that our fathers have given, the apostolic word we've been given. Eh? You note it. You read it. You check it. You speak it. You confess it. You declare it. That's how to enter the land. We enter the land by spiritual arms. It's not in physical warfare, but Pastor William got it. It's what you say. No, we don't do it together. So if we are doing something together and you're having problems with that, and what do you do on your own? Eh? But then you have to do general confession once a week. I hope you know. Yeah? Then you have to do the one once every 6 hours. That one is there. Then you have to acknowledge the Holy Spirit, ask for mercy, and pray in tongues at every opportunity, in every temptation. Yes, so. Then you read your Bible. That one is part of it. Then you do the daily rhema. That one is there. Then the weekly one that they have put there. Where are you? Brethren, it's great rain. He said that the cloud is black. You said when you said black cloud, you are starting off. But you must have rain. You must have rain in it. So, black cloud. With rain. Study the word. Make time. Just reduce the TV time. Reduce the little time. You pay a bit more time. And you will grow. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed by the growth. The revelation. When you talk, people will be recording what you are saying. It's already happening. When you are talking, people will be recording, you will be sounding like, this one came from another planet. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. It's our time, brethren. But we must take advantage of it, full advantage of everything we have. Don't leave anything out. And don't underutilize any of the resources. It costs. It costs to provide those resources. It costs. So, if you underutilize it, God forbid somebody from outside the church comes and utilizes everything. That's what happened to Uzziah now. And all those guys, they used some. They didn't use all. And Daniel used all. Joseph, no Bible. Brethren, it's God that is judging you. It's not man. God will have mercy on us. All right, let's round up. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now, just to say quickly here, you can't have love if Christ is not being formed in you through travail. Now that's the only way. The Bible says, "My illusion of woman travail again in birth." Galatians 4:19. Until Christ, which is love personified, be formed in you. So love must be formed for you to be able to act it out and use it to provoke others. But this is how we're supposed to be provoking others to love and unto good works. Just merely good works of charity and then love, going the extra mile. Love must be there. Next verse. Not forsaking. They are saving of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is talking about assembling in church on Tuesday for prayer, assembling in church on Wednesday for the word, assembling in church on Sunday from 9, not 11:30, 9 until 12 or whenever the service is over, and assembling in cyberspace for Good Morning Jesus prayer. That's the assembling together. Where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. That's where carcass just means that there's food for the eagle. That's where food is. So all this rain, you're going to get it by coming to church. Not by just being a regular member and say, Pastor so-and-so knows my name. That's not the point. The point is that everybody has a standard that God is marking. And God knows what you can do. He knows what is beyond you. So this is not about convincing your pastor. It's about convincing God. Amen. So because he's the one going to do it. Amen. And then finally, brethren, we grow in diligence. You learn to do all these things consistently. On authority, provoke others to love and good works. Pray. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. We do this consistently. And God then increases our love. And perfects our love. Until the love is rock solid in your soul. Flows into your body. And then your body is fully, practically, wholly, finally occupied by the love of God. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. God is there to help us, brethren. Give Him that love. Let's give Him that love wholly, totally, completely. The one thing we can all take away is faith. Everything we do by faith. So review all those things you do by faith. Make sure you're doing it by faith. Check the scriptures by faith. Go over it again. So it's fresh. And you're strong in faith. Thanksgiving. Repent. And let's ask God to take us to a new level of diligence. You are the love of my life. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I won't trade you for silver or gold. I won't trade you for riches untold. We need His help. Reach out mentally for your high priest before you. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit at your right hand. Thank God for your fathers, our fathers. Let's pray. Left hand on your forehead. That's where it is. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you've sent to me today to show me that I need to be strong and stronger in agape love. Father, I forsake my wicked ways. I renounce my hidden thoughts of dishonesty, filthiness, and cunning craftiness. I ask you for mercy to remove from me selfishness, filthiness in my thoughts. I need your help. Help me, Lord, to seek you alone. Help me, Lord, to love you above all else. to be faithful and diligent under covering, in obeying instructions of my spiritual fathers, in honoring them and honoring your word. I lean on you, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I thank you for fresh grace to love you to the very end. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in tongues. Jaka somberia repa papa kande ke sobo mekana baba papa kariba rapa paka topea jeka na baba malele mele de kaka roba gon reba fate totala jeka na baba pam 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 pala ye won pam bigi auni obaya na rene ne mari baba bole rene ne be saka di belebo mele ne be rape kiro ashanda selea rika maya mera mapakato mera Kakato, Shaka Leve Basado, Meka Baka Banano, Rena Levesa, Jaffe Casso, Binaya, Renamas, 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 Shaka Levames, Mikam Banea, Jena Lama Bassere, Rena Leve Papa Katea, Zabria Namaya, Bella Leve Sosasha, Rena Makatas, Jeffrey Kumulamas. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your visitation with us here today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence in our midst. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you for your overshadowing presence, causing all things to work together for good. We thank you, Lord God, for the Spirit of our fathers that is here with us. Thank you for the mighty manifestation of your love through your power and your word today. Truly, we are grateful. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that has chosen to visit with us. But we are grateful, Lord. And we say, Lord God, as you have come to us and fellowship with us, Lord, we say we take heed unto ourselves. And as the word of your grace that has come forth today, that will build us up and bring us into the fullness of the inheritance you have for us in Christ. By your strength, Lord God, we'll enter in and possess the land, Lord. That goodly land you have prepared for us, a land that flows with milk and honey. A land, Lord God, whose your eyes are upon all throughout the year. And that you, Lord, pour out upon the rain of your doctrine, Lord God, causing us to apprehend the fullness of our inheritance. We are grateful, Lord. Thank you so much for everything you've done in, through, and for us today. We return to you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join hands with somebody. As we close. And Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the prayers of our fathers over us and has gone forth. We come to release the power of healing, the healing power of God in this place today. Everyone grasp and feel, Lord, we say we receive, Lord, a fresh outpouring of the healing balm of Gilead to flow to every body, every circumstance, to provide healing and cure, to give strength and health in the name of Jesus. We say by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his resurrection, life, and power. We say we are healed and we are whole in the name of Jesus by that which every joint supplieth in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we give you praise. Lord Holy Spirit, we honor you and sanctify you in the name of Jesus. And therefore I come, Lord God, in order, under the authority of my fathers, with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls in this house. We say, the Lord bless and keep us all. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord make his countenance, lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We are at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and He shows us His salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. And so the Lord anoints us with the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John, in Jesus' name, amen. The grace, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed and Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor that you receive strength to inherit. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Amen.
You are the hope that I cling to.
You are the hope.